Okay, well, good. How's everybody online? I could show you our class here, or Daniel can, but this is a, you know, we have a, anyways, I won't do that. We have a class in front of us. You just picture it in your mind. And so good to have everybody this morning. Is there any way where I could turn the speakers to hear so people can hear the class? How do I do that? Oh, I understand. Under speaker is called Sync Master. Okay, great. Now, class, everyone can hear you if you do share out loud. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning, Zinning. Good morning, Janine, Gushin, Freeman, Scott, Timmy, Jennifer.
Morning.
All right.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
92. Okay. All right, let's get started with a word of prayer. Takes a little time to get set up here. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have this open access to you, that you have created us as the most significant of all your creation. You breathed your own breath into us, and you've given us something that allows us to be able to long for you and to desire you and to commune with you. And we are honored this morning that we have this access to you, that you are a communicative God, and you communicate to us, and you desire us to communicate to you. You are a relational God, and we thank you for that. As we submit ourselves before you this morning, we submit ourselves in a way that wants to draw near and to hear from you. And so we pray for our virtual class. We pray for the on-site class, or whatever we call it, Lord, this gathering of believers, that it would be a rich time of fellowship, and that you would allow those who have ears to hear, those who have eyes to see, the wonderful privilege of being your kingdom people, and as we look into your word, how you want to speak to us and guide us into kingdom living, people who live as people of the kingdom, having a kingdom mindset. So, Father, we thank you, and we need your help, Lord. When we gather, if it is not you building, if it is not you teaching, if it is not you stirring within our hearts, Lord, we do all of this in vain. And so, Lord, I want to acknowledge how much we need you this morning through all of our Sunday school classes and into our time of worship together. Father, we need you. And so hear my cry for that, and please do amazing things within your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me share screen with y'all at home, and I think we should also be able to see it here. All right, there is a better way. This is where we're at. We're in this cool text, right? We're in this really cool text. Oops, this was not supposed to show up. Let me see. Let me change my animation settings. This has to be animated. Don't look at those questions yet, please. This is a surprise. There's a big reveal. Okay. So, and then I got to do that by paragraph. Okay. So here we go. We're going to present it again. And you should only see the verse here. You shouldn't have seen the white thing. That's kind of in the way. Sorry. This is so dumb. How do I get that? How do I get this white thing out of the way?
Just close it out.
You know what? No, I know what the answer is. It's this paragraph thing. Here we go. Let us read this verse together. I'll read it for you. Can I move this out of the way? Okay. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's say that last line, verse 21, together. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, great. So there's so much to discuss in this. I wanted to go back a little bit, spend some time thinking about some discussion questions. these are the points that Frank and I, or this was mostly Frank, had put together last week. Looking at some of these phrases, do not lay up, do not store up, right? The word is to stockpile. There's actually a horizontal and vertical sense to words. And in a particular concept, when coins are stacked up, so this word is a vertical, has a vertical sense to it. It means things are being piled up. When words have a horizontal connotation to them, it is in the sense of being used actively, right? So there's a concept of not vertically stockpiling up our treasures on earth, but to vertically stockpile for ourselves treasures in heaven. That's kind of interesting when we think about wealth and treasures. Frank showed us last week that the word treasure has both an idea of the treasure itself, but also that word treasure is used as a physical place where treasures are stored, right? Where moth and rust destroy. There's a fragility. Frank showed us the fancy t-shirt that cost $600, right? This word destroy is absolute destruction. So moth and rust create an absolute destruction of the treasures, and the common place where people would store their treasures is they would actually dig holes, right? X marks the spot, right? Dig holes or put it into a box or pour it into a storehouse. And that's interesting because the word for break in is also to be dug up, right? So thieves break in, thieves dig up and steal or take them away completely. Okay, so a treasure that is taken away completely, something that you have been amassing for yourself, something that you have valued, something you have put stock in, and it's taken away completely. I think Frank reminded us the passage where it was referring there's a mute function right here. Okay, yeah, thank you. So there's this concept of the enemy of God being the one, Satan being the one that is called the one who steals and destroys, right? What is that verse, Frank? What is that? That was up on it, anyways. Yeah, I took it away. I'm okay. Sorry. I want us to, Daniel's going to break us up into groups. And then for those of us in the class, maybe groups of three. What are different treasures on earth? Now, Frank did bring that up for us last week. He gave some examples, but I wanted us to think a little bit more personally this morning. What are some different treasures on earth? I use the general sense so that we can be superficial and share about other people. But if you're willing to, you can even share about what are the different treasures of your heart personally, right? And I'd like us to spend 7 minutes to think about, so what is the process of something becoming such an important treasure to us? Why does something become such an important treasure to us? Why do we value that so much? Is there a difference between something being valuable but something that's being overvalued? Right? Could there be a sense where even my ministry, because I think about it for myself, I think ministry is something of the kingdom. But is there a point where valuing the kingdom work, I like Milton's idea last week, right? Like, is there such a thing of like a greedy sin, like a sinful greed of treasures in heaven, right? So is there, where does it cross a line from me valuing ministry for the kingdom to the point where it's, could it be overvalued? I don't know, something to think about. Or I value my children, but is there a point where it there's that tipping point and it goes into overvaluing them to the point where parenting my children becomes my identity, or being a pastor becomes my identity, or my schoolwork becomes my identity, or let's think about that. Why do we have these type of treasures? How does it become so valued to us? And how does this affect where our heart will be? All right, yeah, it's kind of a lot of questions. So just kind of take it where, you know, I'm not a by the book guy, so you don't get a markdown if you don't answer all the questions. You know, it's not that way. It's just to stimulate some dialogue this morning. All right, took some time to think about these questions. So let's break out into max a group of three. If you want to mix it up and, you know, you want to move around the room here or at home, you don't have a choice. You're going to be assigned into a group. So let's do that. 5 to 7. Yeah, that's a privilege of coming in. All right. So 5 to 7 minutes. All right. Let's go for that. Okay. I said the most important thing of the class. You just missed it, Lily. I'm sorry. How were your groups? What was some things that you guys gleaned in that? Treasures, how do things become important? How does it affect where our heart will be? How about we start on this side of the room here? The ladies, the sisters over here.
I think we had the sharing. I think we're talking about how, you know, there are physical treasures like money or like, you know, expensive items, but there are also, you know, some of us mentioned like family or and how they affect us is like, if something were to happen to those treasures, then it would like affect everything.
Right. Okay. So if, for those of you online, if you couldn't hear, Cindy was saying their group talked about external treasures, but there's also intangible treasures like family. What are some other intangible treasures that are not as visible? Like your family, maybe education, maybe your success, maybe achievement, health, time. That Cindy said, what? When you what?
When something happens
to those treasures.
The condition of those treasures affects the condition.
Okay, so when something happens to those treasures, it affects the condition of your faith, right? Okay, good. How about, let's go online. How are your groups there? Anybody want to share something for us? Anyone here? Online? Okay, Kai, I just see you at the bottom of my little screen here. No?
Oh, no, sorry, I was unmuting. We didn't get deep into it, but I guess I can share personally for me. Yeah, I think there's this, I agree with him, there's two types of treasures. And I think sometimes it's the internal ones that that maybe like for myself that I try to pursue that that would really like even like for the most part I would say like take control and trust and like kind of place it from God to myself, right? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes focused on like how hard I can, with whether with good intentions or not, it's like how I can go to achieve this, to provide or like, you know, to maintain. But then that shifts my own personal like focus from allowing God to be a part of it or even to lead it to like me being taken charge, and then he will just kind of supplement like me reaching that goal or whatever.
Okay, good, thank you. So how do you guys think these internal or intangible treasures become so valuable to us? At what point does it become, you know, there's that tipping point? I think we would all agree there's nothing wrong with family. Valuing your family, valuing your education, working hard in your job, saving up for a down payment to buy a house. These are not wrong in and of themselves. Where does that cross from? And we made clear last week, Jesus is not talking about, don't work. You know, don't go to any college. Don't care about your family. There's a concept that Jesus is giving, right? Any ideas, any thoughts of how something might tip over to go from something that is neutral into something that's unhealthy? Any ideas? It's okay if you want to mull over a little bit. How does something like tip over? You know, what's that tipping point of, hey, this is not a bad thing, but now it's like over-consuming? I think we're going to see that as this develops through, okay? So we're going to just kind of keep that in your mind, because that question is something that I was talking to Pastor James about. This passage is very clear. It's making a comparison of treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. That's pretty obvious what we need to be investing in and storing up and laying up and amassing treasures in heaven. But I wanted to bring in a different level, that even within this spectrum of valuing the things of heaven or the things that have eternal value, there's also shades of gray there that we need to be careful of, right? So there are things even on earth to say, I can work and I can value this, I can save money for a treasure in heaven perspective, right? So I want to tease that out a little bit, and I think we're going to see a little bit more. I think you saw this already here. I couldn't get that timed in right, but we already see two treasures here. Cindy was talking about, well, in a certain way, two treasures here. It's very clear. We see two treasures. There are treasures that we amass for ourselves or store up for ourselves on earth, and Jesus is making a very clear comparison. There are treasures that he wants us as kingdom-minded people to lay up for ourselves in heaven. So heavenly treasures, and where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. All right? The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness, Jesus says. And then no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. All right, so remember, these are all, every word here matters. We're linking these all together from last week, all the way into the following section about anxiety, there's a common thread being pulled through this. Okay, we talked about last week that this is just a quick review. I, in the Jewish language, in Jewish literature, is very clearly linked with the concept of the heart, the eye and the heart. Okay, a healthy eye, the original word, has this idea of being single, healthy, single. It's the opposite of duplicitous, is actually where we actually get that Latin, from the Latin root, from the Greek root. So we get singular or duplicitous, right? Or divided, okay? So having a single eye is different. A healthy single eye is different from a bad, unhealthy, maybe you call it a blind eye, right? An eye that's not functioning properly is opposite of being single, right? We saw that it also has this idea of health, the eye being able to be straight without turning aside, right? So we see a picture here of, we saw two treasures. Now we see that there's, Jesus is showing us there's two types of eyes, an eye that's healthy and an eye that's bad. Any comments?
When you brought into the eye last week, so mm-hmm. I kind of mm-hmm. been got me thinking about the eye. You know, I actually didn't know what it meant for the eye to be bad. I mean, we all know the eye to be bad physically is that you can't see clearly. But what does it mean for the eye to be bad figuratively or spiritually, which is what obviously what Jesus is addressing, right? And he's also talking to believers. He's also talking to people who are in the spiritual kingdom, right? So he says, if your eye is bad, and then I looked at the eye and the word bad. Bad is the Greek word evil, okay? And okay, I guess if your eye is evil, right? How many of you guys heard of the evil eye? It's a Greek thing, right? It's like an eye. Literally, these people wear jewelry. Did you know I made thousands of those?
You made thousands of those.
Of evil eye, and I sold them all. I didn't sell it, my customers did. But they said, can you make this evil eye? I said, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you didn't
know? What the evil eye was? It's a Greek thing, right?
Is it Greek or Egyptian or something?
It's Greek.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really along these lines. How did they become? They call it evil eye from this, right? Literally the evil eye. And did you know what that Greek tradition was? It's when people do one of these. That's evil eye.
You guys missed Frank's eyes. So his eyes were like, you know, when you do one of these, when you like look sideways at someone.
Is commonly associated with people who are jealous, who are envious. And then that's why they came up with this jewelry, the evil eye, to combat the evil eye. It is, go look it up.
Oh, really?
So that you will not receive the curse.
Oh, of the evil eye, yeah.
And why is that person cursing you? They may hit you. But it's very closely associated with the envious heart. Interesting. So if your eyes are bad, it is very, very closely associated with the fact that your eyes are envious. Your eyes are jealous. And why does Jesus bring that up? Because, and that goes back to what Pastor Alex was saying, what is it about what we want and stockpile, and how does that deal with our envious heart and the eye? See, all this is interconnected. How do you know when you are stockpiling and what you pass that fine line? And why would your eyes be bad, right?
Yeah, in most of the, in the quick read of the text, I think it's very straightforward. There's a concept of materialism, there's a concept of money, there's a concept of that. That's in a very obvious read of the text. But I think for Christians, it is true. Some of us have already maybe crossed over the hurdle of money. It's not like money owns me. You know, materialism, I don't care about materialistic, you know, living. I don't care about the money. But some other things that are earthly treasures, I envy, right? No one sees it. I think that's the thing about the evil eye too, right? No one sees it. No one sees, and you don't visibly always do this, right?
That's why you wear it.
That's why you wear it, right? That's right. And so I think it's a heart issue, right? Going back to what Jesus is always going down to the heart issue. Why, what is it that we, I speak to the youth a lot about this word comparison. Comparison is such an evil deceit of the enemy over us, to compare ourselves with others, compare ourselves to others within the church. Oh man, does that happen? That begins that little seed that grows into a potential weed that steals from your heart. Right? And it began with comparison. You're comparing yourself with others instead of having your heart on the right treasure. Right? That's interesting. All right. How does our attention become divided? We're going to kind of skip this, right? But what makes it hard to be single? I think that's what partly I would say. I share this example with Bex as she leaves today. She's always bummed out because it's always like the second half of the class, we start really getting hot, and then she has to leave and go get ready for singing. Bye, honey. But I shared this imagery with her this week. I was thinking about it, and I heard it as well. But it's anybody who plants a garden, right? Any gardeners here? Like Nancy has a garden. I used to have a garden. Arthur, you guys do gardening? No. I know some other people do some gardening. Online gardeners. Timmy doesn't look like a gardener. Timmy just shook his head. I don't know if Gashin's a gardener. Janine for sure is not a gardener. Maybe. Auntie Kim, gardening. Freeman is a master gardener, okay? All right, so anybody who is a gardener, like not Timmy, right? I just see Timmy right now. I'm sorry, I'm picking on you. I just miss you, brother. When you tend to your garden, you plant the seeds of the plant that you know that are good. But every gardener knows inevitably there will enter in, especially when you don't tend your garden enough. You don't tend to your garden enough. The seeds will fall into your garden that are seeds of evil. You know, things that you don't want growing there. The problem is you don't know it. The seed went in, but you didn't know it. And the seed begins to grow, and it begins to steal the resources. It begins to take away and fight for the nutrients that are in the soil. And all of us know that if you don't tend your garden or you see weeds begin to grow, the process of weeds, and even Jesus talked about this in the parable of the sower, right? That if you let weeds continue to grow, they will not only fight for the resources and the nutrients that are in the soil, it will fight for the resources of the energy from the sun. So weeds will actually grow tall enough and spread to cover up the good plants that you want to grow, right? So it is a battle for if we lend ourselves to Jesus's parable of the sower, the soil is our hearts, and the seeds are the word of God. right? Specifically, they're the gospel, but we can also borrow that analogy to be the word of God. The word of God is good for us. We want ourselves, we want our minds. We know we flourish when we are filled with all these plants because the seeds of the word of God is growing and flourishing in our life. We want our minds to always be filled on that. The problem is when we're not tending our garden, there are seeds that begin from comparison, seeds that begin from identity issues, seeds that begin from deceit of the enemy that begin to, if not tended to, grow, and they're actually competing for the same resources that God's word is vying for in your mind and in your heart. You guys with me? It's fighting for that because there are seeds that don't belong there and need to be uprooted and removed. But when those seeds of the weeds are growing, they will choke out. That's what Jesus used. The word Jesus used was, will choke out the seeds of the word of God, the plants of the word of God. We want to be aware of that. There are, I'm not adding to Jesus's concept here, but there's two treasures. Treasures that have value in heaven, treasures that are valued on earth. There are two eyes. There is eyes that is healthy and singular and not covetous, right? Not envious. There are eyes that are healthy and good, and there are eyes that are evil, eyes that are bad, eyes that allow darkness to come in. It's not allowing evil spirits to possess you, but you're allowing darkness, I would say, seeds of the lies, seeds of deceit, seeds of the enemy to be produced in you. In any garden, there's going to be a competition of resources, of nutrients. And we want to always be identifying, as Jesus, I think, is helping us to identify, is your eye healthy or bad? Are the seeds healthy or good or bad? Is it the treasure of your heart what God values or what the world values? Right? And then he says, from two treasures to two eyes, he says, no one can serve two what? Masters. So there's two treasures, there's two eyes. I mean, this is kind of cool. Like, Jesus is just a master preacher. I mean, literally, it's like we're spending like 2 hours over 2 weeks to reiterate and to understand his sermon. But within like probably 2 minutes, he like links these together. I mean, boy, pray for Pastor James and I that we can preach more like Jesus, right? I mean, just powerful. Masters, what do where was I going with this? Object of our spiritual sight is important. Where are your eyes? Okay, blah, 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 whatever. The truth of the value of the kingdom of God, or okay, I did that. So what do you think of when you think of the word master? Master? Okay.
Like the world could be one master. Like if, let's say, you're discontent all the time, it's never enough.
Right.
I think for Christians, it's a little bit harder for us to connect when we talk about, evil eye, because none of us are really evil, right? Mm-hmm. It is true. There is some sense of evil in there. But maybe like for Christians, things that are seeds that we don't notice, but it might creep in, seeds of discontent. Seeds of ungratefulness, you know, seeds of like, I guess just wanting, like maybe unhealthy ambition, not godly ambition. And then like anything that draws you away from God, like anything that is earthly, you know, because I think a lot of times we serve the world. Peer pressure stuff that comes with peer pressure can drag us into the world too. Then basically serving the world, I guess, is in another sense is serving the enemy.
But see, Lily, I agree with you. I not but see, that was kind of a weird, I It's not obvious when we are serving the wrong master. I don't think it's obvious. Because if we knew, it'd be so easy. That's why I was setting this up with those seeds in the garden, because seeds in the garden that begin with deceit, the enemy's primary tactic is deceit. We know that. So we know that when we talk about lies of the world or serving the world, we're really serving the lies that were propagated by the enemy, the master of deceit. And there's a manipulation of the word of God. There's a manipulation of concepts that are good, so that even things of the kingdom that we value may be manipulated to, again, that tipping point that I was referring to. At what point does it become that way? Yeah, go ahead.
So I guess I want to ask a question. Is it possible, you know, Jesus was talking to God believers, right?
Kingdom people.
Yeah, kingdom people. Is it possible for us to and be nothing. Serving another master without us knowing?
Mm.
If you're saying that, it's subtle.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Could we serve another master and it's subtle?
Without us knowing.
Believers?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember how Jesus, you know, how those his other disciples said, hey, Jesus, I did all this in your name.
Right.
I casted out demons. And I healed the sick.
And we call you Lord, Lord.
The only Lord. And Jesus, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
not scary. But I guess that goes to, is it possible that it's not like we're worshiping Satan
or Baal?
So yeah. Obvious, right? Yeah. Yeah, like you're bound down to a wooden image.
But yeah, there are. That's why I was trying to introduce a concept through the garden, right? Through a garden, seeds that are put in there and you don't observe it. You don't. Anyone who's a gardener knows, like, you don't know when the seed got in there. It's not like you planted a weed seed. You didn't plant it. The seed ended up in there. But the seed of weeds competes for the nutrients of the soil. And you don't know it unless you're very careful, like Farmer Freeman, to tend to your garden. Okay? Because you should have seen Freeman's, like, planters. I mean, it just, he really had a special thing in his backyard going. I mean, vines growing. I mean, it was just different. But unless you're tending to the garden, you don't know, like, even me, I'm an amateur gardener, and a lot of times I was like, oh, look at this, it's growing so well. And then you don't realize until later, oh, the actual good plant died. You know, that was actually a weed, right? And so you're feeding, you're propagating, you're actually giving nutrients, resources to the lies, the deceit that Satan planted in your heart. That's the reason why, you know, our church wants to emphasize knowing the word so well, because only knowing the truth, knowing the word will be able to identify this, the weeds that don't belong there. What are lies that we believe? What are lies that we believe? How about we just get into groups? I don't know. Should we just pick this up next week? I think lies are a big topic. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
What? Say what?
Yes.
So yes.
Alex, Pastor Alex, can I share like a scenario, and maybe it is like that. Like, a nurse was telling me that now with the Delta variant, there's a lot of deaths, right? And then she was saying, like, all these families, they're doing all these funeral services. Mm-hmm. But then the pastors are charging a lot of money to do the funeral services. And I guess this matter kind of stumbled her a little bit. So would that scenario be kind of like serving God and money?
Mm. No, I mean, pastors are making a lot of money because they're doing more funerals for the COVID.
I don't make money.
Gosh, we should be rich. We should put our services, JJ, online. Like, discounted. You get a 25% discount for us to do your funerals, but we'll take turns. We'll take turns. We'll rake it. We'll rake it in.
That I think is just serving money.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't, you know, this is a secret, but Pastor James and I don't even charge for funerals. We don't charge any money. It's not a secret anymore. So the question for that, Lily, is what? Could that be a tear of the battle between serving God and money? I think I do want to, there's a cool thing about this text, right? Because when you look at this whole text from the two treasures, two eyes, two masters, and then where Frank brought us already last week to, how do you know? I think one of the tipping points, okay, one of the tipping points is Jesus leads us to, therefore, do not be anxious. There are certain things that give us anxiety. And when there's anxiety, that anxiety, Jesus even gives us a process to think through, I believe, and we're going to look at that next week, to how we think about why this has given us anxiety and how we may, with a few questions, bring the tipping, that unhealthy value back to the thing that God values. Even if it was something that God values and it went over to the other side, how to align that in a kingdom mindset, all right? So I think we're gonna look at that next week. But I wanted to say that I think this area, using that analogy of the garden, I'm gonna stay with that. I'm gonna bring that into next week again, because I think that this, I saw a lot of heads nod online and hear about the seeds of discontent, seeds of envy, seeds that basically it was a deceit of the enemy. But the seed weed has competed. There's a battle for the word of God. It's a battle for truth. It's a battle for belief in who God says he is and what he does and his kingdom ways. And when we allow seeds of the enemy to propagate these ideas, these deceits in our soil, competing for the word of God to propagate in us, that's where we have some issues. I think we need to consider these lies, these deceits that we believe. And it might be hard because you're like, well, if I'm deceived, how do I identify that I'm deceived? If there are lies, how do I know that it's a lie? I think Frank and I don't know if you inspired me, or I keep on my Google Keep a list of lies that I believe. I mean, I can't even read them to you because they're a little bit too, you know, I mean, if someone broke into my Google account.
I saw that.
Oh, you saw it, right? Shit. But I mean, I have, it's sad. It's not good. But over time, God has revealed to me lies. And that title of my Google Keep says, take every thought captive. And it's in blue. It's in blue. I can't show it to you. But it's in blue on my Google Keep, the only one that's in blue. And in it, I have many questions to ask myself of how do I identify if what is bringing me, and actually it begins with how Jesus listed, Frank brought us to it last week. It's something that's making me anxious. And it's not money. It's usually not money. It's something else. It's something else with people. It's something else with my ideas of something. And I have this list. I mean, you can see it's really long. Okay.
You're saying it's not the anxiety for you is not money for you.
Oh, yeah. For
there
me.
There's many.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. For me, it's not money. It's right. All this other junk that I'm realizing, these are seeds of deceit or even twisting of God's concept and it was competing for all these resources where the truth of God could overcome that, but I've not tended to it well enough that those weeds grew and are choking out the truth. But God's word is so powerful that whenever I confront the lie with the truth, the lie loses, right? So I think I'll go there next week, and I'm gonna save this concept because next week I wanna show you what I prepared for this week, that actually this whole section from two treasures to two eyes, to two masters, and then he says, therefore, do not be anxious. And then later, but seek first the kingdom. It's all linked together, right? Again, wow, Jesus just preaches it like that. And it probably like souls were like, just, you know, collapsed and saved and won into the kingdom. We have to spend some time to meditate on it, right? But I'll show you even the section next week where he begins, therefore, do not be anxious. And that's why he has a therefore. The therefore links the anxiety with all this stuff. Two treasures, two eyes, two masters. There's a competition going on inside of us. Yeah.
I want to like derail your
thoughts. No.
I just was wondering if you would, Peter asked a really good question last week that we moved about all week, and that is, we don't have to store up treasures on earth, but how do we store up treasures?
Oh, what? Yeah, okay. Should we just drop it? Let's just drop it.
Okay.
We were going to hold it. No. I think we're going to hold it.
That's fine.
We were going to hold it, and that was a cliffhanger, right? So, to be fair, Peter's question last week was, if we are not to store up for ourselves treasure on earth, what is the treasure that we store up for heaven? How do we store it up? I think... leave a little cliffhanger there still, but I would say the thought process that Frank and I talked about with this was, what is treasure to God? What does God treasure? Online, here. First, you need to know what the treasure is. So the question to start that is, what does God treasure? Frank used this word last week a lot. What do we value? And then we have to think then, what does God value? What does God value? Now that makes it easy, doesn't it? Does it make it easy? I don't know. To me, it becomes a lot easier. What does God treasure? What does God value? Tell me some things that God values, that God treasures. Tell me. Online. Tell me some things. And it's okay if you're wrong. It's all right. Well, you know, we'll tease it out. What does God value?
Us.
What do you mean by us? That's right. God treasures and values us. What else does God treasure and value?
Your trust in him.
Your team?
Your trust in him.
Okay, okay, so that's part of us, yes. Trusting in him. That's part of us, right. Our trust, okay? Can we broaden us, Peter? Can we broaden us? Because us, he delights in us. People in this room, people virtually. He does value his children. How about even broaden that?
The unsaved.
He values, is it just lost souls? God values, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you for a second. Cindy's now talking to Elise.
If we take a look at God himself.
Yes.
And take God the Father.
Can you guys hear Peter? He's saying if we take a look at God himself and
God the Father values and treasures Jesus the Son.
Okay, God the Father treasures Jesus the Son. God values his own name. God values and treasures because he knows, not in a weird, warped way that we understood it. God knows that he is the source of all treasure. He himself is treasure. And if God values us, I'm going to broaden that from just lost souls to God values souls. And he values his own name. He values the name of his son. He values the fact that he himself is the treasure to our souls. Do you see that? There's not that much more that God values. It's very evident through the pages of scripture what God treasures. So then that begins to navigate the thought process of how do we store up those treasures? We store up for ourselves treasures in the things that he treasures, in the things that he values. You guys with me? That makes sense. All right. We could talk about that more next week, but I still think that this process of going through it is good for our souls. I'm going through myself a lot of like, boy, even this week, there are things, there are lies, there are deceits that, ooh, man, I got to work through. Where's God's truth to slaughter that weed, to uproot that weed, to spray the weed off that go, you know, there's a certain type of weed Roundup, right? That goes, me and CJ, because it has a gun. So we spray the weeds, but there's only a certain type of Roundup, a weed killer, that you spray it on the leaves and it goes all the way to the root because you have to kill the weed off at the root. If you just break the weed, right? You know that, right? It'll grow back. So only God's word is enough to combat the root of deception. Yes.
With the pandemic, not too many people look at our church garden.
Yes. Mabel says in the pandemic, not a lot of people look at our church garden.
It's very hard for me to convince our gardener those are weeds. And he won't kill them.
Okay, so Mabel says it's very hard for her to convince our church gardeners that these are weeds, and so he won't kill them.
So one of our trees is called the osmanthus tree by the gate.
An osmanthus tree. It's dead, right.
And then it was replaced with a big giant thing. And he goes, what's wrong with it? It's weed.
Oh, so the osmanthus plant was killed. It died, but in its place grew something very big, and the gardener says, what's wrong with it? It's green.
Yes, so I think—
But what is that green thing?
I have no clue.
Okay, but it's probably a weed.
I killed it.
Oh, you killed it. That was an orange tree that I planted, by the way. No,
there is a specific reason why we don't
grow
some fast-growing things
along
the—
Right.
Otherwise, it will uprooted.
Right.
That's why it's good to put the osmanthus.
Okay. So I don't know. We could read into that, right? I mean, there's a lot of times we can't discern the difference between a weed and osmanthus.
So,
maybe we need to replace the gardener. All right.
So
yeah. The point is,
for everyone, yes. Please come to church.
Okay. All right. I'm going to replace that concept to say, take the time first to examine your garden, the garden of your heart. Weeds, seeds of deceit, lies that you're believing in today. We're going to talk more about that next week, okay? All right. Let me pray. Father, we thank you today for our time. We want to value the things that you value. We want to treasure the things that you treasure. And Lord, in and of ourselves, it is not very easy. But you did not leave us to be in and of ourselves. You have given us yourself as a treasure to pursue your treasures, Lord. That's an amazing concept for me. That you have given us yourself, the greatest treasure, in order to pursue the treasures, even the fruit of that you want us to bear comes from you. and not of ourselves. But there is a partnership with you. I pray that you win in this, Lord, in us, and that we bear the fruits that come from you, that we pursue the things that are treasures in heaven that we can store up. You have given us so much. The world is so deceptive. The enemy is so deceptive. But Lord, not more deceptive and not more powerful than you, who is the one who is greater in us. And so, Father, this morning we want to cling to you. We want to hold on to you. We want to ask you for help, Lord, to heal us, to show us, to reveal to us, to put to death those seeds and the weeds that do not belong in our garden. Let your truth overpower the deception, Lord. And we thank you for that. Help us. We know that this is a journey, and we walk together as a church in this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.